Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are. It's Musings by Martiki coming to you again with another podcast session.
Vessel, so I'm available for you to use me as much as you can in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, spill whatever you want us to hear, Lord, whatever you want your children to take far with them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you will take your place in the name of Jesus. Take charge, Lord. Take over, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And Lord, we leave the rest of the session with you to run it according to your will. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen. And amen. Amen. So this afternoon, thriving at our workplace, I've been asking the Lord, what do we talk about? What do we talk about? And he directed me to the book of Zephaniah. So let's do this together, because I was also discovering parts of it at the same time. So it's also quite new to me, but the Lord still wants us to focus on his word. Just a bit of a brief description of, you know, what the book of Zephaniah is about. It's one of the prophecies from the Lord's prophets, but then, you know, if depending on where you stand in terms of your salvation, in terms of righteousness, in terms of how you are playing in this world, you may consider it as a prophecy of doom. You understand? But why would we consider something as doom if it's telling us about the great day of the Lord, the Lord's coming? You know, it shouldn't be doom if you're doing the right things. So we're just going to look at what the prophecy said in the book of Zephaniah. So it starts from chapter 1. I'll just read up to maybe the very, you know, top part of chapter 2, and then we'll take it from there. So Zephaniah 1. The word of the Lord that came to Zephaniah, son of Cushi, the son of Gedaliah, the son of Amariah, the son of Hezekiah, during the reign of Josiah, son of Amon, king of Judah. Verse 2, I will sweep away everything from the face of the earth, declares the Lord. I will sweep away both man and beast. I will sweep away the birds in the sky and the fish in the sea, and the idols that cause the wicked to stumble. When I destroy all mankind on the face of the earth, declares the Lord, I will stretch out my hand against Judah and against all who live in Jerusalem. I will destroy every remnant of Baal worship in this place. The very names of the idolatrous priests, those who bow down on the roofs to worship the starry host, those who bow down and swear by the Lord, and who also swear by Molech, those who turn back from following the Lord and neither seek the Lord nor inquire of him, be silenced before the sovereign Lord, for the day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. He has consecrated those he has invited. On the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I will punish the officials and the king's sons, and all those clad in foreign clothes. On that day, I will punish all who avoid stepping on the threshold, who fill the temple of their gods with violence and deceit. On that day, declares the Lord, a cry will go up from the fish gate, wailing from the new quarter, and a loud crash from the hills. Wail, you who live in the market district. All your merchants will be wiped out. All who trade with silver will be destroyed. At that time, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and punish those who are complacent, who are like wine left in its dregs, who think the Lord will do nothing, either good or bad. Their wealth will be plundered, their houses demolished. Though they build houses, they will not live in them. Though they plant vineyards, they will not drink the wine. The great day of the Lord is near and coming quickly. The cry on the day of the Lord is bitter. The mighty warrior shouts his battle cry. That day will be a day of wrath, a day of distress and anguish, a day of trouble and ruin, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, a day of trumpet and battle cry against the fortified cities and against the corner towers. I will bring such distress on all people that they will grope about like those who are blind because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood will be poured out like dust and their entrails like dung. Neither their silver nor their gold will be able to save them on the day of the Lord's wrath. In the fire of his jealousy, the whole earth will be consumed, for he will make a sudden end of all who live on the earth. Zephaniah chapter 2. I'll just read up to verse 3. Judah summoned to repent. Gather together, gather yourselves together, you shameful nation. Before the decree takes effect, and that day passes like wind-blown chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's wrath comes upon you, seek the Lord, all you humble of the land, you who do what he commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you will be sheltered on the day of the Lord's anger. Amen. Amen. So
Amen.
Everything that the Lord has said is that he is really coming. He is coming. And whether the time he comes, not even your money or your wealth or your riches or your gold, your silver, whatever he has blessed you with, none of those things will be like, you know, a saving ground or whatever for you. You can't find comfort or solace in the things that you have acquired here on earth, this earth. But then the Lord is calling us into his fold of humility, into his fold of righteousness, into his fold where he's asking us that we should come, we should be humble. We should be humble, seeking the Lord. He has said this thing about humility over and over again, that that is what he will use to cleanse the land. You understand? The first time that humans turned against God, the first time humans decided that they will do things or they will indict themselves against the Lord was when he came and then he killed an animal as a sacrifice to cleanse their sins. But this time it seems like he is going to actually use the same fire to consume the same people that have sinned against him. And he's actually given us another extension of, you know, a way out, basically. He's saying, turn to him, call upon him, seek the Lord, be humble. And that is how our land will be saved. Seek humility, you know, and that is probably the way that he will shelter us from his anger. So there's a way out. That's what the Lord is saying. There's a way out, turning from our wicked ways. Sometimes the very things that the Lord has blessed us with, they become our idols. They become the things that keep us so consumed, so busy. So I don't know what at all it is that you wake up early in the morning and the first thing you will think about is maybe ironing your clothes. What food are your children going to eat? And then, you know, how soon can you get out of the house before maybe perhaps it turns 6 o'clock? Because if it's 6 o'clock, there'll be traffic. And then if you don't leave, the you know, and then the traffic starts, then perhaps you get to work at 8 o'clock. There are so many things that we have lined up as a blockade that stops us from even worshiping our very own God. We then make these things our idols because we wake up and firstly turn to these things before we even think of how can I glorify your name? How can I make you my God, the Alpha? How can I make you the beginning of my day? It has even become a big ask for some of us, you know. It is a struggle. You know, you prayed for children. God blessed you with children. Now these children are keeping you occupied. You know, you wake up in the morning and the first thing you want to do is probably to do other things that he's blessed you with. You asked him for money. He gave you money. And now you are thinking of ways to sustain the money and not even ways of sustaining your relationship with the Father himself. You know, you asked him to give you a job. He's blessed you. You asked him for promotion. He's promoted you to the highest heights. And then you get there and forget all about the Lord. And he is saying to us that he is coming. He is coming. And the day that he chooses to come, none of all of these things that we have acquired will save us apart from we knowing him and seeking him for ourselves in all humility, is what he is saying to us. So this is not a prophecy of doom. It is a reality check that sometimes if we have gone so far away off tangent of, in the walk or the path that the Lord has carved for us to walk in, he is asking us to come back again, fall in line, check yourselves again, ask yourself, how am I pleasing you, Father? How do I wake up in the morning? And what are the first things I exalt over you? Check yourselves, open your heart, ask the Lord to search you and then show you things that grieve him daily. As we come before him, we sometimes do not even know that we have sinned. And it is an opportunity, another reality check that the Lord is inviting us into to think deeply about the ways that we grieve him. The very blessings shouldn't become our idols. The day is coming, the day of the Lord is coming, when he will throw away some of the things that he has given us, when he will use us, our very own selves, as sacrifice. It's not the time that he took one of the animals he created and then put that on the altar and chose to use that as a sacrifice. He's saying that, this fire will consume us if we do not take care, if we do not take a pause and humble ourselves, He's saying that we should humble ourselves. That is the way that he will heal our land. Humble ourselves. That is the way that he will heal our land. So how are we grieving the Lord day in and day out as workers, as people who, he's blessed with jobs. How are we grieving him? Perhaps we wake up in the morning and then first thing we think about is, oh, somebody that we are going to work to blast. Or, you're thinking about, your words. You're already planning to sin in advance. You know that by the time you get to work, this is how your boss is going to offend you. And these are the words that you have prepared for him in advance. But do we even take the time to prepare nice words to praise our Lord when we wake up in the morning? Or we think of ways that we will just make our flesh feel better, when we are able to give it to somebody in a way that pleases our souls. No, the Lord is inviting us back into humility to seek his face daily. So I'm really sorry if this doesn't sound like the message you want to hear today, but this is what the Lord is actually saying that he wants me to share. Zephaniah is the word that he said I should preach today. He is coming, he is coming, and he doesn't want us to joke with his very own existence. Sometimes we shelve God. We feel like, oh, he is there, he is there somewhere. We treat him like the deity that he is, very, 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 very precious. Sometimes you have precious things that you put in a very safe and secure place, and you'd be like, you know what? I'll keep you polished and I'll come back and check on you later. But that is how the worldly people treat their gods, okay? They polish their gods, they brush their gods, they actually put, oil and stuff on their gods to keep it fresh. Our God is not that kind of God that is static, that needs polishing from time to time. No, he's not that kind of God. He's a God that is very, very dynamic. He speaks. He has a voice. He moves. He shakes up the earth. And he says that he is coming to destroy the world if we do not sit up. If we do not sit up, he is coming to destroy the world. And it's not the very friendly God that we always expect to have, the friendly lamb. No, this one is the lion, very fierce. He is coming. He is coming, and some of us may not like it, especially if we have not prepared ourselves to change. So the Lord is speaking and he wants us to hear him. He wants us to know that, we've taken him for granted. He wants us to know that we are not prioritizing our walk with him. We prioritize all of our other, daily walks, all of our other things that we have ranked higher than him. He is saying that he is coming. That day of the Lord is actually nearer than we think. It's not just to the people of Jerusalem that he is speaking to, but he is talking to all of us, those that have raised gods out of the very things that he's blessed us with. He gave us the money, but what are we using the money for? Sometimes we idolize the money so much, we put them in treasury, we put them in high secured banks, so that we don't even share a bit of it with our God. He is coming. He wants us not to build for ourselves, earthly treasures, but he's inviting us to actually set up a vault, build a vault in the heavenly places where we will stash and invest in our heavenly account. Imagine if you get to heaven and you are so bankrupt. Imagine if you get there and you have nothing. What money are you going to spend in heaven when you haven't invested while you're here on earth? This is the invitation. It is the wake-up call that the Lord is asking you to rethink about it. Stop amassing wealth here on earth. Stop thinking of, how you're going to be richer than somebody or what you're going to be using the money for in ways that please your flesh. What are you doing for the kingdom of heaven? He is coming. He is coming. So I'm so sorry that this may not sound like a feel-good message. No, it is a message of great awakening because our Lord wants us to know that He is coming. Whether you're a worker, whether you are a re retired person, whether you are unemployed, whether you're looking for a job, He is coming. And when He blesses you with whatever you are asking Him for, the next agenda, the next prayer request, how are you going to use that to glorify the name of the Lord? How are you going to use that to proclaim His name to the nations that they will know of Him as well? How? The Lord is coming. And He's not joking. He's not joking about, how He will be very fierce on His return. He's not joking about how we have taken Him for granted, taken His very word for granted. He is coming. So are we ready? Is the question. Are we ready? Is the question. Are we ready? Is the question. The Lord is asking us to leap over the threshold. Any pagan practice that we are practicing here on earth, He's asking us to leap over all of that. Leap over every practice that you know that does not please the Lord. Anything that you have become so accustomed to that you know is not pleasing to the Father, leap over that. Today is the day that He is calling you. Another great awakening, another reminder, reality check, pause and think about it. Are there things you're doing that do not make the Lord happy? Things that grieve Him, things that make Him very upset? Pause and think. The day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. Seek the Lord and humble yourselves. Seek the Lord so that He will use the humility to cleanse our land. I think He said this in First Chronicles as well, 7:14, if I remember correctly. I'm just looking for that quickly.
It's true. It's a good thing. It's
Yeah,
a
thank you.
Yeah.
First Chronicles chapter 7. No, I think I mixed it up. Never mind. But the
Second
Lord is
Chronicles
coming.
7:14.
Sorry?
Second Chronicles
It's
seven
Second
fourteen.
Chronicles. Yes, sorry. So not fair. So second. So Second Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. Yes, you are right.
Called by my name.
Thank you so much. And it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, again, another invitation to humility, and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. How many times does God have to say this? He has reminded us in the book of Second Chronicles. He has reminded us again in the book of Zephaniah that all it takes is for us to humble ourselves, turn from our wicked ways, seek His face, pray. There are levels. He's given us every with everything that he, if he says this is going to happen, he's already given us the solution. And all that it takes for us to walk in alignment is for us to humble ourselves, humble ourselves with all humility, humble ourselves, pray, be consistent in prayer, seek His face, turn from your wicked ways, not just you, me, myself too. Turn from your wicked ways. That is when He will hear us from heaven. That is when He will forgive all of our sins, and that is how our land will be healed again. So there is redemption. There is redemption. You know, the first time when, you know, he said he was going to destroy the land with fire, like Zephaniah was predicted in his prophecy, Jesus came. Jesus came, and what did he do? He was humble. He was humble. He went on that cross. And then he died for us. Even Jesus knew how to be humble. Even God himself came here on earth and showed us how to be humble. So how much more us that he has created? How much more us, the very people that he made it in his own image? You know, all he's asking is for us to humble ourselves so that our land will be healed. Humble ourselves, seek his face, pray, turn from our wicked ways. Because we've done so much, and enough is enough. Enough is enough. What more do we want from the Lord? How else do we want him to come and sacrifice himself for us before we will turn from our wicked ways? I mean, it's grieving the Lord himself, and he has to echo this message over and over again. You know, the times of Noah is no different from what we're living now. We are no different from the hard-hearted people. We are no different from those who didn't have the ears to listen. We are no different from those that did not have a soft heart to receive the call of the Lord to repent. But you know, he's called a few of us into that remnants of, you know, those that he's given a second opportunity to turn from our wicked ways. And it takes some of us hearing this message to also go and prompt others to turn from their wicked ways. So let's not see this as a prophecy of doom or a message of doom, but let's receive it just as the Lord is asking us to receive it, so that he will use us as the people to help to heal the land. It starts from somewhere, and he's inviting us into this space of humility. He's inviting us into this space of seeking his face. He's inviting us into this space of turning away from wickedness. He's inviting us to walk again into the sheepfold of righteousness so that he will heal the land. So, Father, we just want to thank you for your word. We thank you that you have spilled just what you want us to hear. We thank you that your word will be a blessing, Lord, not just to us, Lord, to even the people we work with, to the people we live with, to the people we speak and spend time with, Lord. Father, Lord, it's not just a message for workers, it's a message for all. Those who have ears, Lord, let them hear in the name of Jesus, and let them speak your word. Let them cascade this message, Lord, beyond this space, Lord. Let it go far. Let others hear of your coming, that they will all turn from their wicked ways in the name of Jesus. Father, Lord, I pray that you will use us to send your gospel afar, Lord, that people will know that there is a living God out there who created the earth, and he's calling us back into humility so that you will heal the land for us in the name of Jesus. Father, there are many times that we seek your face, asking you to do all sorts, but Lord, this is your request to us, Lord. So may we also conform and align with what you're asking us to do, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, Lord, it won't just be about us asking, 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 do this for us, do this for us. But Lord, we also want to submit to your will and do what you're asking us to do, Lord. Help us, Father. Hold our hands, Lord, as we run this race of life, Lord. It's not easy, but with your help, Lord, we can do it. So, Father, we are relying on you so that you will hold us, Lord, step by step, day by day, be our guide in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. May none of us miss the mark to heaven. May none of us miss the mark to heaven, Lord, that we will spend time, Lord, speaking and sharing your word, and then we'll not find ourselves where we ought to be, Lord. Father, Lord, please show us your mercy. Show us your mercy. Show us your mercy in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you will go before us. You will surround us. Your glory will be with us all the days of our lives, Lord. Father, show us your mercy. Show us your mercy. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Amen. Dear sisters, shall we share the
A quick
grace?
message.
Amen. And now, may the
May
grace
the
of
of
our
our Lord
Lord and Savior
the
Jesus Christ, the love of
love
God, and the sweet fellowship of
Jesus
the
Christ,
Holy Spirit
the love be with
be
us
with us
now
now and
and
forevermore, in Jesus'
forevermore.
name.
Amen.
Amen. Surely,
Only
the Lord's
God's goodness
goodness and
and
mercy
mercy
shall follow us
follow us
all
all the
the days
days
of
of
our
our lives,
lives, and we shall
and we shall
dwell
dwell
in the
in the
house
house
of the
of the Lord
Lord
forever
forever and
and
ever, in Jesus' name.
ever.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God
Amen.
bless you.
God
God bless you.
bless you too. Have a wonderful afternoon.
Same
Same
to
to
you.
you. Bye for
Thank
now.
you. Bye bye, dear.
Bye.
Goodbye for now, and I will catch you on the next episode. Take care. Bye bye.